While you're following along with the Law of Attraction, with Hacking Your Mind, and all of the other great episodes that we've had where guests have come on and talked about how they manage their goals, ethics, and dreams, well, now you can manage your own. We are giving away a free mind map and daily planner at our website, InnovarePodcast.com. Go ahead and check that out. Download your free mind map and daily planner while you listen to this episode to get some great ideas. What are you waiting for? Go there now. From the verb innovare, which means simply to innovate, to reform, or to change. But what is innovation? It's often tough to define, but we know it when we see it. It's a new idea, creative thoughts, new imaginations, methods, theories. It's bettering ourselves. But we take these actions often out of necessity. So what if we could harness the scrapper mentality, the hustler, the actions of those who are just trying to survive, and put it into everyday use? This is my passion project. I've attended some of the world's largest innovation conferences, developed the latest and greatest technology, and produced change within organizations who are built on and preach tradition. Now I'm here to help entrepreneurs and everyday individuals make small changes and establish a new normal through new methods, ideas, and standards to change your life forever. I'm Roy Edwards, and welcome to the Innovare Project.
I welcome you to Innovare. Yeah, this is where we innovate. This is the podcast where changes are made. If you're not growing, then you're dying. Innovation is the key to surviving. This is Innovare, where we ain't scared to make that change and create a new way. If you're ready to learn and sit back and just chill, it's about to get real. This is Innovare.
What's up, guys, and welcome into another episode of the Innovare Podcast. I'm Roy Edwards. I'm your host, and welcome on in. Guys, if this is your first time here, first, welcome. Welcome to the Innovare Podcast, where we believe in innovation, bettering oneself, and the law of reciprocity. So if you found out about us through somebody else, that means you have some homework to do. That means you have to like, subscribe, write a review. Nah, I'm just kidding. Just share this out with people, man. Share this out so we can grow the word, grow the community, and change more lives. Speaking of, on this show, we're going to talk about connections. We're going to talk about community. We're going to talk about networking, but not networking in a sense that we're going to events and we're handing out business cards. No, we're going to be talking about networking in the age of 2020, which oftentimes revolves around the internet and the social media, and in some cases, or a lot of cases, podcasts. I got a great guest in for you today. We're going to break down podcasting, how he was able to communicate with hundreds of people daily for hours, get them to sit down with him, answer all of his questions, and grow and communicate and connect on a more human level without actually being in the same room. We often think that technology, social media, the things that we're doing nowadays here in 2020 are less human than we were doing a year ago or 5 years ago. But the truth is, we're all still human and we all still want to communicate in the same way. It's just we're giving too much. And I don't mean that in a sense that we're being helpful of others, we're being charitable. No. I mean that we're giving and we're listening less. That means we're posting more. We're not commenting on our friends. We only are obsessed with what we want to give to social media, what we want to post, what we think's important. And so today, and as you're listening to this, I challenge you to go out into social media and instead of trying to give a post or give a thought, why don't you just like somebody and comment and say, hey, man, that's great. I think that's awesome. I think that, you know, that's a really good thought. And just promote somebody else and trying to promote instead of trying to promote yourself, because that's what a lot of social media is these days, is that people are just trying to either fake it or they're just trying to only listen to one opinion. And so we're going to get into all of that today. We're going to get into criticisms. We're going to get into being more human on social media. And we're going to get into podcasts. Podcasts on a podcast. That's pretty cool. So let's get started. Hernan Sayas is the host of the Business Bros podcast with a goal to help you create wealth today and generational wealth for tomorrow by effectively adding insurance into your existing business and through the power of podcasting helping you take control of your branding and marketing. Welcome on in to the Innovare podcast, Hernan Sayas.
What's up, dude?
Roy, man.
What's up, man?
I'm excited, dude. Pumped, ready to go. Ready to talk podcasting.
Yeah, man. Dude, I, like I said, we were talking a little bit before in the pre-show. And so I, for the most part, I'm new to podcasting, right? I've had a podcast for, I don't know, 10 years-ish. But like we talked about before, I come from the radio world. So I'm like Sirius XM, right? So like everything was broken down into segments. And so this podcasting, this world of like you talk for an hour and you talk through people and like even having guests on, I feel like is like more radio than podcasting.
It is, dude. Think of it like this. When people ask me, you know, what do you do? Why podcasting? Why'd you do that?
Yeah,
man, it's really just, for me, it's always been a prospecting tool, right? So if you're in business, so why did we get started in the first place, right? First of all, somebody told me to do it, right? My mentor, when I was getting my real estate coaching certification, they were like, hey, you should start a podcast. And they had a daily podcast and that's how I ended up finding them and connecting with them. And then around the same time, I was introduced to Gary Vee's content, and he's saying the same thing, start a podcast. All right, so cool, let's do it. I didn't know what it was. The best way it was explained to me was it's internet radio. So you're talking about, is it radio? Yeah, dude, it's just that now the FCC is not regulating you. Now there's, you know, it's all on your own. You got to figure it out as you go. But the cool thing was that once we transitioned from just doing regular informational shows, we kind of transitioned. My 8-year-old son came up to me. He's like, Dad, if you want people to listen to your show, you got to get influencers on your show. And I was like, oh, that's words of wisdom from an 8-year-old. So we reached out and started interviewing people. And that was a mind-blowing experience because it was almost like I got to hit the fast forward button on my own education. And at the same time, now I have a platform where before I would want to talk to a particular person and it would be like, hey, can I, you know, take 5 minutes of your time, get you a cup of coffee? Most people are like, no, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You know, I'm sorry, I'm busy. But if I said, hey, I got this podcast, would you like to be a guest on my show? And at the end, I'll give you the digital files, you know, video and audio, and you can use it to promote your company however you like. All of a sudden, people were like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And it wasn't 5 minutes anymore. It was 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour of their time. And now I'm able to meet somebody new every single day. And that has, to me, been the most powerful thing about podcasting. You know, a lot of us get into this space thinking we're going to be the next Joe Rogan. And that sounds good, but you don't realize how much work that actually takes. You don't realize that Joe Rogan's been at it for over 10 years. You know what I mean? But when I got into it, that's the first person I looked up to. I was like, okay, who's doing this right? And I looked and I was like, oh, well, Joe Rogan's doing it right. And I just used easy metrics. I was like, well, he was at about episode like 1100 or something at the time. And I was like, okay, so if I can get to 1,000 episodes, the faster I can get to 1,000 episodes, the bigger my audience is going to grow. So I committed to doing this every single day. So 5 days a week, we do a show and we started interviewing people every single day. And, you know, now we just broke the 600 marker on number of episodes. Nice. But the most amazing part is I've interviewed over 400 people in multiple different industries in business. They're doing all kinds of tremendous things. Some people are just starting out and others have reached levels of success that I, you know, aspire to get to. And I get to pick their brain. I get to ask them questions. I get to learn from their mistakes. I get to learn from their successes. And that has been, you know, that to me has pushed the fast forward button on our insurance agency. That's why we've built so many automations on our back end. That's why the way we present our show is more about not really, you know, giving you or selling insurance. We're giving you another income stream. We're giving you the ability, you're a tax office, you're a mortgage office, you have some sort of client database. Let us bring in the back end support so that you can write insurance without having to lift a finger. All you got to do is learn the new line, which is pretty simple. Hey, let me introduce you to my insurance division. And that's it. And we'll handle the rest of your stuff. And that has only come from talking to entrepreneur after entrepreneur after entrepreneur and learning from the lessons that they've had in business. So to me, that's been the most powerful thing about podcasting. And we've designed our show a lot like, I actually parallel more along the lines of like sitcoms. So we use a platform called StreamYard. Let me back up. We first started in podcasting, it was audio only, right? Because that's all I knew, right? I went on Amazon and I was like, okay, I need podcast equipment. I want to interview people, so I need 4 mics. Went on Amazon, put 4 mic system, and Amazon recommended a certain type of equipment. And I was like, all right, cool, that looks good. And that was the start of everything. And then as we started interviewing guests, they're like, hey, you should add video. And I was like, well, I don't want to edit you know, for 10 hours straight every single episode. Right. I don't want to do that. And they're like, no, use this thing called Sling Studio and you can turn your cell phone into a camera and you can operate it right there on your Mac and you're set to go. Like you can change camera angles. You can add lower thirds. You can do all that stuff. So we're like, okay, cool. It's $1,000 piece of equipment. We got it. We implemented video and that was a cool step. And then COVID hit. Right. COVID hit and now we can't do in-person interviews anymore. So we shifted and we started off with Zoom. And then I saw Gary Vee doing tea with Gary Vee and he was using something and it had a nice design. Like your show has a nice design. Right. And I was like, that is not Zoom. I don't know what he's doing, but that is not Zoom. So I started doing a little bit of research and I bumped into StreamYard. And so now it makes things so much easier. I mean, when I hit the live button, it's already streaming to multiple platforms. So the YouTube, the Twitter, the Twitch. You know, Facebook, all that stuff. It allows me to, with a click of a button, think of a soundboard, but instead it's like a video clip. So I can, you know, add my video clip for my intro and there we go. The intro plays, full audio is playing. Then I come back and, you know, I start the, you know, we introduce the guest and then throughout the show, we can drop in movie quotes. We can drop in commercials for any sponsors we have throughout the show. And then at the end, add my outro. Hit the end button and it's it. It's already syndicated everywhere I wanted to go. It already has all the editing that we've done live on the show. It allows me to throw up banners and to, you know, for me, it's been one of those things where I model things that are already successful. You've been in the radio world? That's awesome. You can take the skills that you learned in that industry and apply them to podcasting. I mean, I had zero skills, but we develop them over time. And it's allowed us to build a brand that is recognized, which is huge, right? When you go out and try to do business with people and they're like, hey, I know that logo. That makes a big difference when you're trying to build a rapport with somebody versus if you're just going at it cold.
Yeah. And so I think that, so I want to touch on a couple different things here. So you mentioned that going into this, that you actually did other things, right? Like this wasn't, you didn't come in here like trying to build a podcast. This was part of a marketing tool of something else. So like, what is your background? Let's get into your backstory before we go any more forward.
Oh man, I'm what you call a license junkie. So my very first business was a computer repair business. And we started it, my brother and I, out of necessity. He rolled his truck while he was working for a cable company. Back then we were installing high-speed internet. And he thought it'd be cool to take the truck off-roading and it rolled. So he got fired and we had just bought a house. We were 19, 20 years old. And we had just bought a house. We had to, you know, pay the mortgage. So we went around and started taking flyers to the neighborhoods. And we were like, hey, you know what? We'll fix your computer. We'll install your high-speed internet. And that did really well. Then the girlfriend he was dating broke his heart and he joined the Navy and bounced. And so I had to close this business down. And mind you, at that time, I mean, we were young, dude. It was all about partying. It was all about having fun. It was, and the business was doing good. So literally, this is how we did our business. We would bring in the money for the day, pay the guys what they did for the work, and then keep the rest. And that was the victory. That's it. But when I went to close it down, I learned, oh, man, I have a long-term lease on this office that, or this retail spot that we had. We had long-term marketing contracts that I had personally signed for, vehicles. We had never filed a tax return before. I had employee taxes I had to pay. Like all this stuff that was business, and I had no clue about it. So we shut that business down. And in the process of shutting it down, I realized what I actually wanted to go to school for. So I went back to school. I got my degree in accounting. I started going to tax school. And then I started teaching tax school for H&R Block, started a tax practice, started flipping real estate, and, you know, started doing all these other things that are in line with that business thing. I was bit by the entrepreneur bug. That's it. Like I was going to be doing that probably for the rest of my life, I think. I started teaching tax school and I met, I was teaching tax school for this company called Mike Russ Financial Training Center here in California. They do licensing for a bunch of insurance agents. 60% of the insurance agents in California have been licensed through that school. Hit it off with the owner and he was like, hey man, I'm starting this insurance agency. I got a guy that does insurance. He's amazing at it. I got a pool of insurance agents that we can shop from to build this agency. But we both suck at the books. We both suck at the accounting stuff. We need a partner to come and do the accounting. And I was like, cool, let's do it. And so, you know, and he's like, hey, man, I can't pay you right now, but we can turn it into something. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I got nothing but time right now anyways, right? So we built it. And then as soon as my brother got out of the Navy 8 years later, I was like, hey, man, what are you going to do when you get out? And he's like, I don't know, I'm going to go on the GI Bill, go to school. I was like, okay, cool, come with me. I got him an insurance license. We took over one of the offices that one of our agents was like, I'm out, I don't want to do insurance anymore. So we bought his office, and we've been building our San Diego team now since that time. That was about 2013. And so, you know, it's morphed, right? We were trying to build an actual business. To me, there's a huge difference between being self-employed and building a business. And it's simply defined, right? If you go on vacation for 6 months, when you come back, do you have a business or is it done? Right. It's a toast. And so, you know, we've been focusing our attention on building a business. And we've done such a good job at developing the systems to run it that now we're trying to take that and implement it into other people's practices, other people's businesses to help them generate more revenue. And, you know, ultimately, Zig Ziglar said it best, right? You can have whatever you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And how do we get in front of people and tell them what it is we do? Well, we used to do that by walking around and handing out door hangers and doing that when we were 19, 20 years old. Today, we have a different process. Today, it's like, well, let's do a podcast. Let's talk to people every single day. And guess what? Not only are we talking to them, if we give them enough value, they're going to share with their friends and family. So their friends and family are going to see it. And then the long tail of the internet is going to help us out, because now we produce, you know, 600 pieces of content at least just in show production alone, not to mention all the little clips, not to mention all the little, you know, show notes and all those other things. So Google recognizes us really well. Sometimes you Google other people that have been on the show and the only thing that pops up is us, because that's the only type of content they've put out. And so all those things, you know, for the last 3 years, doing those things have helped us really expand our reach and really begin to grow that company the way we wanted to.
So there's a couple of things you mentioned there, is that you were doing all these different things, right? And I looked into your background, right? And you did education. Are you an algebra teacher at one point?
Yeah, I still do that. So I teach a course in the morning called Financial Algebra. Like literally my class starts at 9 a.m. this morning. And I teach high school kids, like, you know, how to balance your checkbook, how to buy a car, how to buy a house, all the life skills that you know, everything I practice out in the real world, I get to bring into the classroom.
And so there you get into that saying where it's like jack of all trades, master of none, right? But I am a lot like you, where I have all these things in my background where it's like, how can I package them together to put something out so that I'm truly great at? You know, so there's those things that in my background where it's like, well, thank God that I had that stint in whatever, because like radio, right? I'm not a radio personality anymore, but thank God I did, because now I can have this podcast where I can move things. I know how to audio engineer like all these mics, and I had all this stuff laying around, right? And so obviously you want to master in something, which you clearly have, but how did all of those things that you got into like prepare you for entrepreneurship?
Oh, absolutely. So it started when I was doing taxes, right? I was doing taxes. And the cool thing about doing tax returns for people is you get to open a door that most people don't want opened, right? Yeah. So when you sit down with a tax preparer, like literally I'm like, hey, so how was your year? That's usually the first question I ask every single time I sit down with a client. And it's financial therapy, but it's more than financial therapy. I mean, I got divorced. I got married. Somebody died. Kid was born. You know, I moved. I started a new business. I went bankrupt. Like everything that, you know, all the skeletons come out of that closet and they lay it all on the table. And in doing that, you know, as a tax preparer, you're listening to the story and you're trying to pull out the information that applies to their particular tax return. But there are so many other things going on that I can refer you to that I can help you with. So you're right. I'm not a master of all of them. But what I have been able to do is I've acquired licenses in multiple things. So when I sit down with somebody, not only can I speak, if I sit down with a tax person, I can geek out and we can talk taxes. I sit down with a real estate person, I can geek out and talk real estate. An accountant, I can sit down and talk, you know, general ledgers and whatever you want to talk about. You know, I can talk so many different financial languages that allows me to communicate and tell a story to somebody. And then because I sound knowledgeable, because I know what I'm talking about, I can then refer them to somebody who is a professional in that industry. And because I have a license, I get paid for that. Right. And that's the cool part about having, you know, all those different licenses and maintaining all those things. And now as a podcast host who talks to business people all day long, that has turned everything around, because now I handpick the real estate clients that I work with. Right. I refer people out to different professionals. Now I have a huge network of professionals that are doing all kinds of different things that I can pick and choose from. You need help with this? Cool. Let me send you in this direction. You need help with this? Let me send you in this direction. And the best part is I maintain all my licenses. So when I send a referral to specific strategic partners, I get paid. And that's really where the magic happens. And then I get to take all that stuff and I try to give back by going back into the classroom and trying to develop some skills that these kids probably wouldn't get anywhere else other than when life slaps them in the face, and give them the ability to kind of see them, test them, taste them. And then when they're out in the real world, if they want to go for it, they can, because they've already been exposed to it. And if not, they want to go the traditional route, go to college, get a job, they can do that too.
Yeah. Now let's talk back into podcasting here for a second, because that's what I mean, that's obviously like the big thing that you guys are doing over there. And you guys are doing an awesome job at it, man. You've built like a community around this thing, and you're like, it's become almost the focus of your business. Am I wrong in saying that? Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
And so now, knowing that, right, you're, what do you say, 600 episodes in now, mm-hmm. now, you know, the value of podcasting, right? But prior to, did you, like, what was the deciding factor for you to start a podcast? There's so many companies out there and organizations out there that are like, I'm in roofing, it doesn't make sense for me to have a podcast. I'm in, you know, whatever, finance, I'm whatever, you know, like what was the deciding factor for you, and how would you convince somebody now that a podcast is the right way to go for marketing?
So there's a book by Kevin Harrington and Mark Tim. Kevin Harrington's one of the OG Shark Tank guys, right?
Yeah.
The book is called Mentor to Millions. And in that book, they talk about, if you want to achieve something, you need to find somebody who's already successful at what it is that they're doing. And so I go back to my real estate mentor, right? And they still have a daily podcast that gets hundreds of downloads a day, right? How did they build that? They built it because they're bringing value to the people that they want to work with, and they're using that platform. As they bring value, people just want more of what they're giving, and they turn around and work with them. I looked at Gary doing the same thing. Gary Vee was saying this: if you need to be a media company first, and then whatever else second. You know, everybody who's been successful has been doing that model. So I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel. Why start? You know, I do things all the time. I step in holes all the time, and I stepped in this podcast hole not knowing really what to do, but I knew that doing it had the effect that I wanted to. I knew that if I wanted to send my message out more, if I wanted to grow something more, I needed to get in front of more people and tell them what it is they did. Now, some people do that YouTube channel, right? I tried that. I tried doing video recording. Video editing is not my gig. Like, it's just time consuming. I don't have the eye for it. I can do it. I'm just not the best at it, right? Now, and then I decided, you know what, I'm gonna step behind this mic thing, and you know what, at least nobody will see me. That's what I thought, right? At least nobody will see me. I can talk about stuff, and you know what, if nobody listens, it's not a big deal. I can say I tried it, but right. I committed to 3 years. Right. I committed to getting to that 1000 episode, and I would see where life would take me beyond that point. It's kind of like when you work out, right? When you work out, if you go, okay, I'm going to work out, and you do it for 2 weeks and quit, well, of course you didn't get to where you wanted to go. You didn't put enough effort in. But if you commit to that 1 year, right, I'm going to do this for 1 year, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to work out every single day, I'm going to keep my regimented schedule, then all of a sudden at the end, you're like, yes, this is exactly what I want. And you kind of keep going. You make it a lifestyle. I did the same thing with podcasting, right? I said, look, we're going to put on a show every day. At first, we were giving people the option. You want a 3 o'clock, a 4 o'clock, or a 5 o'clock spot? But I couldn't live my life around everybody else's schedule. So instead, we're like, dude, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every single day. This is the day we're going to do the show. Pick a day that works for you. And you know that, and that's it. That's how we started to reach out. It forced me to go into communities and start to talk to people. It forced me to go to networking events and shake hands and tell people, hey, I got a show. Would you like to be on it? It forced me to do those networking things that I wasn't otherwise doing. Because you're in business, right? When you're in business, you have to talk to people. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you don't talk to people, nobody's going to know you exist. You could be the best plumber in the world, right? You could be Super Mario. But if nobody knows you exist, it doesn't matter how good you are, because you're invisible. Right. So we decided to follow what other mentors were already telling us to do, commit to doing it for a certain period of time, and then stick to it, and gradually got better. If you listen to our episode one, it sucks, dude. It just is. I have no energy. I'm trying to figure out which button to push to hit record while trying to talk at the same time. Right. Like, you just have no clue what you're doing. But once you get things squared away, you start to think, okay, well, what if we add an intro? Oh, okay. Well, what if I add these little segments? Oh, what if I change the format of my show? Like, you start to modify and adapt. You pivot as you go along, and you're better and better and better. And you see what works and you see what doesn't work. And you just adjust and keep going. Now we're 600 episodes. Like when you book to be a guest on our show, first of all, we're booked out 8 weeks in advance, which is awesome, right? Yeah. Second, the week before your show comes on, you get an email from me and it's basically telling you, here, you got to do these couple things to make sure you get the most exposure. By the way, here's a thumbnail so you can use to promote your show. Here's a little video clip for you to promote your show. And here's a GIF file for you to promote the show. Cool. We'll see you here in a week. Here's the show link. Boom. And then the day of the show, obviously you're on and we give you the best video production that we possibly can on a live segment. And we talk all about you and your business and what you're doing. And then the day after the show, you get an email from me, which has the full audio, the full video clip and the YouTube link for you to use it and chop it up however you like. And then when your show actually airs on Spotify and iTunes, you get another email from me that day saying, hey, here's the links to the show. Thanks for being on the show. It was awesome, right? Like this is constant communication with your client. This is a follow-up process that we've developed over time. And I couldn't do a lot of the things that I'm able to do now when I first started. It would have been like, trying to drink water through a fire hose, right? So much information. But step by step, you progress. Step by step, you get better, And now you ask for help and you know who you can go to for certain pieces of advice and certain skills. And I attended the University of YouTube for a lot of the stuff I learned. But now we're in a position where our show's cool, right? Our show's fun to be on. We give value to every single person who's on the show. People enjoy it. And then I don't know what comes in the future. I could decide, we're going to add this piece, or I'm going to get a VA to handle that part. And now I'm going to add more things to this particular show. Like you don't know exactly where you're going to go. You just speak to your audience. Then you continue to communicate with people who have been on your show. They're going to give you feedback. You modify, you adapt, and you keep going.
So are you still making changes to your podcast now? Like, do you still look for changes?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, how can you make it better? Right. Now you can look at your analytics. Are people listening? Are they listening and dropping out the first 2 minutes? Are they listening and going, 5 minutes in? Are they enjoying right now I'm playing with Instagram, right? So I create video clips. Do they like the color scheme? Maybe I should put quote cards instead of video clips. Maybe I should do audiograms instead of video clips. Is it can I do like a live story, for example? Do they like that a little bit better? And look at the metrics and just see what people are interacting with. And it's a playground. Look, if I don't do a show on Business Bros, it's not the end of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody really cares ultimately at the end of the day more than you, the host, right?
Yeah.
But it's you and your business. If you closed your business doors, nobody really cares about that either, other than you, because it's your livelihood. So if you're trying to grow your brand, if you're trying to grow your business, then you got to dedicate the time to do that. You got to just focus your attention and be like, look, this is the method that I'm going to do it. So I don't spend money on mailers, and I don't spend money on doing other things. Podcasting is my avenue. That's is how I connect with people.
That's your door. So you had talked about door knocking before. This is your new door knocking?
This is my new door knocking. There's a couple things on social media that I do now that I never done before. Like I don't go on Instagram and I don't go through the stories without leaving a comment on everybody's story. I have to leave a comment. Why? Because it generates engagement. It's me interacting with people. It's how I talk to them. If you send me a friend request on Facebook, you're not going to get an accepted until I send you a video clip saying, hey, thank you for sending me a Facebook friend request. Like I send a video custom to you. I say your name. I tell you what day it is. So you know it's not pre-recorded. No, it's me interacting with you, the other person on the other end. It's my way of being, a person, sticking to that people-to-people connection. Because in a digital world, like it's so quick to automate things, it's so quick to connect with people using AI or something like that, that we lose that connection with people. So if you have that, if you're able to do that on a regular basis, give, and then be customizable, be you as a person, I think it'll have a long-term effect. Now, it was a slow start, and it's still probably not at the pace that I want it to be at, but we're moving. Like it's a ship. Now it's harder to stop.
That's a fine line that you talk about, where it's the AI, the automation. So I build automation. That's like what I do for a living outside of this podcast. That's like how I pay my mortgage, right? Is I build automation platforms, right? But there's nothing more that I hate than getting like a LinkedIn message that says like, hey, name, what is it that you're doing today? And da, da, da. And it's like, dude, you couldn't even take 2 seconds to check like if your automation was broken or like whatever. So what is the fine line that you found? Because you mentioned that you're sending out emails to people 8 weeks before, right after, right before. Like, that's a lot of emails. Are you doing, like, those are hand jammed, or like, how are you doing those?
No. Okay. So I believe in automation too. I mean, that's the way that our insurance company operates, right? There are certain things that you need to automate, but I believe that you need to automate to enrich the relationship, not to substitute for the relationship, right? And there's a huge difference there. So like on our insurance agency, for example, when a customer, when we have a new quote, for example, an insurance policy comes in, there's a quote. As soon as we enter into the system, there's automations that pop up that guide our staff on what to do, what questions to ask, what's the checklist, what's the next step, right? And as soon as they get to that next step, boom, the next checklist stuff comes up. Like, the automations are there for a purpose. And when I'm sending out emails, they're templated, right? So I have a template. It's a cut and paste template. I do add the name, I do customize the links, and I do customize the attachments that go with that. Mm-hmm. But the template is there because I only need to explain how you add us, or how you subscribe to us, or how you share things. Like, those are all automated. Those are all the same answers for every single person that comes on the show.
Right.
But, you know, but there is a little bit, you know, that saves you a lot of, you know, time, energy, and money. That's systems, right? So it saves you time, energy, and money. And so that to me is the difference maker, right? So I could use an automation, and we do actually use an automation in LinkedIn to make the initial connection, right? And it's something as simple. We target insurance people for the insurance bro show, for example. We target insurance people and we're like, hey, you're in insurance. Would you be interested in being a guest on our show? And that's it. And then after that, we take over the conversation, because theirs is going to be different. Their situation, their story, what they're doing, their calendar, their time frame, all these things are going to be different. And yeah, you can do an automation tree and you can figure out where to guide them, and that's cool. But sometimes it's that extra connection, right? Yesterday, for example, I spent some time going through Facebook groups, because, you know, Facebook has a ton of groups. Mm-hmm. But the difference between what I like to do in a Facebook group and what other people do is I actually like to go into the Facebook group and comment on people's stuff and talk to them in there, right? You want to be the life of the party wherever you are. Yeah. And if you're the life of the party in the group, then when I post my live, all of a sudden they're like, hey, what's up? Or they comment, say stuff, and they like,
I know this guy.
Why? Yeah, I know this guy because I commented on your stuff. That's why. Because you think about every social media post ever, right? Everyone. The only reason they post it is for you to see it. Right. If I didn't want you to see it, I wouldn't post it. I don't have pictures of myself in my underwear, because guess what? I don't think that's a flattering picture. Right. I don't want you to see that. But I definitely want you to see the post about the guest that was on my show. Yeah. Right. So everybody else thinks the same way. They're posting content for one reason and one reason only: for you to see it, for you to comment on it, for you to like it, for you to share it. That's it. Right. They want you to engage. So do people a favor. Go through those comments, and the ones that are not engaging, that don't have comments, comment on them. Those people will remember you.
Yeah.
Send them a message, right? When you see something that's going on that interests you, share it with other people. I guarantee you there are so many things going through people's feeds. You're worried about, what are people going to think if I share that? Nothing. They're not even going to pay attention to you until it's something that's relevant to them.
Yes. Right?
And that's what you want to be able to do. So be the person. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is consuming content. Be the content creator, whether that's commenting, whether that's sharing, whether that's posting, whether that's making videos, whether that's making audios. Be the creator more than you are the consumer.
Dude, I love this. So there's so much of the time when you hear about content creation, you think, okay, well, I'm going to take a selfie, or I'm going to record a video of myself talking about some lesson or something like that. And then you get into the people who are like, ah, no, man, like, I'm too like introvert to take a video of myself to do whatever. But content creation doesn't have to be like some crazy, like, wild video that you're creating. It could just be interacting with somebody on a human level so that they remember you. Because at the end of the day, content creation, all it is to get yourself out there. That's all it is, right? If you're spending a whole bunch of money on content creation and you're not getting any people to interact with you, you're wasting your money. So why not just drop it down all the way down to say, okay, I'm going to start commenting on people's posts. Like, that's an easy place to start. And then if you can start getting traction, people start paying attention to you, then exactly what you're saying, man, you go live in that group, you post a picture. Now when you're running those sales campaigns, whatever it is, people are gonna be like, oh dude, I know this guy, the business bros, man.
That's it, right? And now if I have a Facebook ad and it's, you know, I don't know, an appointment setting program that I have an affiliate link for that I've had a show episode for, now if I run an ad, they're like, hey, I know this guy. Like, and you're actually looking for that particular product.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, I'm going to buy that one, right? Because you know that I've been around. You've seen me. I've connected with you. I've talked to you. I've sent you a video message. Like, it comes down to how many people are you talking to? Like, any type of prospecting, right, marketing course, sales training you've ever gone to.
Dude, that's networking 101.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Talk to people and tell them what it is you do. That's it. I don't care how you're doing it, but that's what you have to be doing on a regular basis. And you said, you mentioned the introvert word, and this is the funniest thing I've started to notice as I talk to more and more people. You couldn't tell by the amount of content that I put out, but I am very much an introvert. You ask my wife, I don't want to leave my house. You ask the friends, the people that, you know me on a regular basis, I don't leave my home. I invite people to come over, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can come over to my house and hang out, watch football, do whatever, you know, on almost every single day. But I'm not the type of person who goes out in places. I'm not the type of person who goes out and, you know, just says, hey, come over here, look at me. I'm not going to jump up and down and make a fool of myself. That's not what I do. I'm very introverted, actually. But I know that when I turn on this mic, when I hop on this camera, right, that is when I turn something on. That's because I'm talking about something I'm actually passionate about and I'm doing on a regular basis that I want you to do, right? If I can get you to do it, then all of a sudden I've made that connection with you. I've brought you enough energy. I've shown you a path. You clearly see that it's an advantage to you. And then you start taking action. Now you're going to be like, I like that guy.
Dude, I love this. And so with this communication and talking to people and putting yourself out there, naturally people are going to disagree with you, right? Like, that's just part of it. Some people are going to agree, some people are going to disagree. And so you have an interesting take straight on your website. It straight up says, critique me. Like, you're just putting it out there. Like, dude, disagree with me and let me know why you're disagreeing with me. So like, what is like the importance of feedback? So many times people are like, block, hater, blah, 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 blah. But like, you're putting it out there to be like, nah, man, let's have a conversation. So like, to you, what is the importance of feedback?
Well, first of all, you got to say thank you to feedback.
Yeah.
Because that person took the time to look and pay attention, read, listen to your audio, whatever. They consumed your content, and then they had the time or the willingness to say something to you, right? That's like the old saying. Mom used to say, or grandma used to say, now times pass, right? If somebody writes you a letter, the least you can do is write them a letter back, right? And that's been taught to me since I was a kid, since we were doing PayPals in kindergarten, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It works the same way now. It's just the letters, a text message or an email or a comment. Thank them. Hey man, I'm glad that you listen to the show, and I appreciate you taking the time. You know, we disagree. Cool. Let's talk about that. But most of all is people that are commenting are listening, right? People that they're actually taking the time to consume your content. Think, like, step back for a second. If you're standing on the corner and you're talking about whatever, and we've all seen those people on the corner, especially in Vegas, right? They're asking questions and talking. You are grateful when people are paying attention to you. Right? That's it. That's what it comes down to. That's your whole purpose in what you're doing here. The whole reason why you're doing the podcast or creating content is to get people to talk to you. Now, if they talk to you and you don't like what they say, does that mean that you're doing something wrong? No, it just means that you grab somebody's attention. This is the opportunity for you to talk to somebody. Just because we disagree doesn't mean that we can't do business together, right? You might not agree with people who voted for Trump. You might not agree with people who voted for Biden, but does that mean you hate them for the rest of your life? Right. No, right? Of course not. If you actually talk to people, you realize that there are people that you love that are on both sides of the fence. And that's okay. That's they believe in one thing or something's important in their life at this moment in time. And so they're voicing their opinion, just like you are on the content you're creating. So, you know, don't hate on that. Talk to them and you know, empathize with them.
Yes, dude. And so that's where you get into like sweeping generalizations, right? Where you're like, oh man, there are so many people that think this way. And so I need to block all those thoughts out of my mind, right? But education is growth. Conversation is growth. Feedback is growth. So unless you want to stay exactly where you are today and just surrounding yourselves with one side of one conversation, which I don't know about you, but that's not how growth happens, right? Growth happens through like failure or through roadblocks or through whatever, something that you have to overcome. And so if you're taking the easy path, which conversations with people who think like you, that's the easy path. If you're taking the easy path, you're not going to grow, and you might, but it's not going to come for a while. Right. So
yeah.
I love that. I love that piece. And I love that you have that on your site where it's critique me, man. Like, let's have a conversation. Like, that's all that really is with people these days. It's just, this is a new way to network. And in a podcast, whether you're having a podcast, whether it's a Facebook post or knocking on somebody's door, it's, let's have a conversation, man. Let's talk. Let's be humans for a second. You know, let's take this on. So, dude, I love this so much. And so, like, there is one part that I wanted to bring up and have a conversation with you about, because you built a Facebook group, right? You have a community. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of different communities out there. Yours is freaking huge, though, man. Like, you're crushing that shit. Like, way to go. But, like, what was your thought process behind the community? And, like, how do you choose what to share to your community? Like, there's all methodology, right? Where you're like, okay, if you put it into a bank, right? You have to put content out there before you ask, right? You can't make a withdrawal until you've deposited enough information into your said bank, right? Like, you can't ask everybody in your group, be like, hey, download this, buy this. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're constantly doing that, then people are going to be turned off, right? So how do you choose what to put out there and what to deposit into your bank or your group of people who are chosen to like your page, join your group, et cetera?
Yeah. So it's funny because when we started, we use Business Bros a lot as our playground. This is where we test our stuff, is where we play, you know, and figure out what works. And then we in September, we launched a new show called the Insurance Bro Show, and it's targeted specifically to insurance agents. We take the skills that we learned on one side, apply them on the other side. And on that show, we want to be known as the agency that overpays their agents and gives away cool shit, right? That's mm-hmm. that's the brand that we want to establish so that people want to come work with us, right? That's yeah. the whole point. And so, you know, what do we give our community? What is it that we're providing? I can only provide what I know, right? And so I'm providing them all the information that I've already learned. So I give them clips of the show, little highlights that they can read. I give them positive motivation, motivation that I use on a regular basis. I give them, you know, a little bit of history of who I am. I figure if these people are already in our community, it's because they like what we're already doing. Most of them have, you know, we have a lot of them that have been on the show. We have friends and family of the people that have been on the show. These are people who are entrepreneurs that are either struggling or they feel like they've hit a plateau. You know, there's a lot of us out there that have started a business and then we get to the point where we're making ends meet, maybe going paycheck to paycheck, maybe going, you know, commission to commission. And how do we get to that next level? What are we going to do? And I wish I had all the answers for everybody, and I don't. But I get to interview and learn from people that do have those answers. So I take clips and I share those with people. I do a lot more giving on those groups and more posting on stuff that is hopefully helping them than I do asking for things. So and that's actually one of my downfalls is I have a huge email list. We have that huge following, mm-hmm. and I don't do enough asking of them to, you know, reap some of those benefits. But I know that, and we're working on certain things, right? That when I do ask, there are going to be so many people that have that feeling of reciprocity that they're going to want to help out. Even, and here's a funny thing. I saw an ad the other day, Billie Jean is marketing, and he was selling a bunch of stuff. And then he said, hey, by the way, I want to see how this works. When you buy my product at the end, it's going to ask you for an upsell. And he has a picture of his holding his hand like this, right? And there's nothing in it. And he says, for $9.95, I'm going to give you nothing. And it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. And the only reason I'm doing this is because I hope that I've provided you so much content, so much value over the years that you're willing to take nothing and pay me $9.95 for it. And that to me was powerful. I was like, dude, that's how much content you've given away. When we're on the Insurance Bro Show, we give away all our SOPs. Everything we do in our business, we give it away for free. Everything, every right. single script that we do, we give it away for free. Because why? I know that 99% of the people out there are probably not going to do it. They're going to value the stuff that I give them, but they're not going to do it, right? And that's okay. But if I continue to give to you, when I do ask for something, there's a possibility it might come back. I'll give you a perfect example. You ever been in an office setting and then it's Christmas time and somebody gives you a present and you didn't expect it? You know, you're supposed to say thank you yeah. and feel good about it. But the truth is, that's not how you feel. You feel like, damn it, I didn't get this person something, right?
Right.
Like, oh, I left your present in my car. Like, you come up with some stupid excuse like that. That is the power of reciprocity. They've given you something and you feel obligated to give back to them. And so my goal in life is just to give as much as I possibly can, because I know that if I help enough people get what they want, I will get what I want. I've learned that lesson so much that I just constantly got to give out as much positive karma as I can, as much positive value information as I can. And I know it's going to come back to me. I haven't, you know, knock on wood in my life that I don't want for anything. Everything I'm doing now is I consider it on the luxury side. Now, I'm not the richest person in the world or anything, mm-hmm. but what we're doing is on the luxury side. These are extra things. These are wants. They're not necessities in my life. And it's only getting better. Right. And that's my point to everybody. You don't always have that, you know, tit for tat, you know, the yin and yang. You give one day and you get an exact number. There's no ROI in what I'm doing.
Yes.
But I know that it's working. Right. I don't have an exact measure, but I know that it's working. And as long as it works, I'm going to continue to do it.
Yeah. So that's like, so I actually just did I do like these solo podcasts and stuff like that, as well as doing guests, but it was exactly on this conversation, this karma reciprocity, right? Where it's like, if you do something with the sole intention that I'm going to get something back, then if that is your belief of karma, I'm not saying you, I'm saying the belief of karma in general. If that's your belief of karma, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in the fact that, like, if I put something out there, I'm doing good for the purpose that this magic boomerang is going to come hit me, right? Like, that I don't believe in. Now, if I believe in the exactly what you just talked about, where you're like, if I get somebody a present, they're going to say, well, damn, I didn't get Roy a present. So now I've been planning in my mind, like, next Christmas or next whatever event, birthday, whatever it is, I better get Roy something because he thought of me. I should think of him, or I should think of others, or I should be a better friend. Like, I see that all the time. I'll be in a group chat and somebody will be like, hey, thank you for blah, 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 for getting me that gift. I'm like, damn, that dude's a good friend. Like, I need to be a better friend. But he didn't do it because, like, ah, man, I better get somebody a gift so that, like, when my birthday comes around, I get that PS5. You know, like, that's not the intention of this. The intention is it's your character and building on your character. And the more you build on your character and the more that you're spreading happiness and positivity and love and, like, all that other stuff, then the more that you're going to receive, not because of some magic boomerang, but because that's what you're putting out. And because that's how people see your character, and they're going to want to emulate that character, and they're going to want to be better people because you are a better person. So, dude, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's not the question that I was asking per se, but, like, that's the answer that I needed to hear for that, because people don't understand that. People think that, like, if I put out enough content, then I'm going to see X amount of dollars. But it's like, that's kind of true, but that's not, like, the purpose you should be doing this for. Like, and until you realize that, you're not going to see that X amount of dollars that even you're trying to hope for, because you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
It reminds me of TikTok, man. So on TikTok, my wife has been using TikTok like YouTube almost. Like, she's like, oh, how do I make this? And then she'll, like, search it on TikTok, and boom, there's somebody giving you a 60-second lesson on whatever it is that you're trying to figure out. And those have so many views, so many likes, so many comments. It's really that simple. Bring value, educate and entertain. And that's all you really have to do when you're putting out content. If you educate and entertain, people are going to connect with you. And that's it, dude. That's the simple formula. Yeah. But we complicate things, right? How do you grow your business? You talk to people and tell them what it is you do. Okay, well, how do we do that? Now we throw in all kinds of stuff. Now we're talking algorithms and we're talking all kinds of different – dude, talk to people.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how you do it, right?
And so how can people talk to you? How can people get in contact with you?
Easy, man. You can find me on all my social media platforms at Business Bros Pod, and you can find all our contact information at www.businessbros.biz.
Dude, thank you so much, man. This has been an awesome conversation. I hope you had as much fun as I did, because that was
– man.
Dude, this was great. I appreciate you, man. And I'm going to take a tip from you, and I'm going to send you these files and these videos right after this, man. I'll get it to you.
Awesome.
So yeah, you can circle those around, man. So I appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Innovare Podcast. You can listen to all episodes at innovarepodcast.com, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you enjoy watching podcasts, check us out on YouTube for a visual behind the scenes look at all Innovare podcast episodes. We have recently released a community of entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook at Innovare Mindset. That's Innovare Mindset, to join the private group of entrepreneurs changing the world. Until next time, guys, see ya. We'll be right back.